Blog Talk Radio.
Attention, Army Wives! Paul is...
You're tuned to the Internet Talk Radio Show designed specifically for Army Wives. Our life, our family, our soldier.
Brought to you by the Army Wife Network. Interactive empowerment for Army Wives. It's Army Wife Talk Radio. Up-to-the-minute information is right here with special reports, stories, interviews, and more.
Now, reporting for duty, your hosts, Tara Crook and Thor Henderson.
Well, hello out there, fellow Army families, and welcome to Army Wife Talk Radio, show 427. I am your host, Tara Crooks. And I don't have... There she is! Yay!
Are you there?
I am. I can hear you now. Go ahead.
Okay. Did you mute me?
I didn't introduce you yet. No, we just now heard you. All we heard was... I heard silence, and then... So go ahead. And you're our host.
And I'm your host, Paula Swanson, and it's Monday,
Yay!
July 8th, 2013, and we're so glad that you've decided to join us tonight.
We are glad that you're here. Obviously, Paula is in for STAR tonight. We need to change that. Just here are your hosts, because we've been switching out so much. You just never know who you're going to get, right? If you're joining us live tonight, guys, and as I say every week, most of you are not joining us live. Most of you are on our podcast, and we'd love for you to be there on our live show because we have so much fun in our chat room. We've got our live chat room with our AWN staff. Our chat room moderator is Janet tonight, and our veteran listeners are all over there at blogtalkradio.com/AWTR. If you click to listen to the title of the show, it'll open up and chat's about midway down the page. But be careful, because those of you who show up week in and week out in that chat room sometimes get recruited as core team members like Mallory. So I warned you. I warned you if you're there all the time. Just kidding. Please show up. We'd love to have you. We talk about all kinds of fun stuff in the chat room, too. It's kind of like having a girls' night out on a Monday evening. And we welcome boys, too, if there's any men out there who want to come chat with us, but we'd love to have you. We also are on Twitter, and we do our social networking on show nights as well over there with the hashtag ArmyWife if you want to ask questions and participate. So there you go.
Absolutely, and we're glad for our platform of Blog Talk Radio and, of course, all of our AWN sponsorship team for allowing us to bring you Army Wife Talk Radio tonight.
We are. So I have not talked to you in a little while. It's been a little – I mean, I've talked to you, like, online, but I haven't actually heard your voice because I was back last week with STAR, and I've been gone for a while. Did you have a good 4th of July?
I did have a good 4th of July, even though it got rained out. We had a last-minute, everything, love the Army last-minute opportunity for me to actually travel to Fort Knox to spend the 4th of July with my husband. And so I left out Wednesday afternoon and drove up there, and it rained from before I left until after I came home on Friday. So needless to say, the 4th of July festivities at Fort Knox was canceled. But we had a good time, got to have some us time and went to dinner. And I do have to say that we stayed on post at the Wickham Inn there at Fort Knox and was pleasantly surprised by the experience. That was the first time that we had actually stayed there on post, and it was a great experience.
So you still got to have fun even though it rained.
Yeah, we did. And here's kind of the funny thing. 4th of July, with everything being canceled and it rained out and that sort of stuff, Brett and I went to the German restaurant for dinner. So I thought, well, that's kind of funny. But it was fun.
We hang out together.
We did.
Yeah.
We actually got to hang out together, and that was the first day that he'd had off in about 22 days on this current mission. So it was good. We did. We had a good time. So anybody that has listened to us before and knows that the Swanson household is very serious about their fireworks will be glad to know that the garage is still full of fireworks. So
still
we're hoping, Yeah, still is, because, you know, we have them delivered by freight. So,
What are you going to do? What are you going to do with them?
Well, we only have, there's only here in this area, there's only like two opportunities a year that you can set off fireworks, quote unquote, legally. And because of what we have to be legal. And of course we would anyway. That's a disclaimer. But it's either around the new year or next 4th of July. And I think we've decided that next 4th of July will be on a Friday, which will just be incredibly awesome. And I think we'll just add to what we have, and next year will be an incredible blowout.
Do they last that long?
Yeah, they'll last that long. Yeah.
They do. Okay, I wasn't really sure.
Yeah, yeah. No. Yeah, we you know, again, we don't buy the little packs at the tent. So
just get the big old stuff.
Yeah,
well,
we get the big stuff.
And now you had family weekend, or you're getting ready to do family weekend, right? Don't you have a family weekend? Yeah.
Yeah, getting ready, not this coming weekend, but the weekend of the 19th, 20th, and 21st. The Army wife, no, Army mom that I am, will be traveling to Fort Benning to actually see my son. It's in basic training there. So we are in about 11 days headed to see Connor for the family weekend at Fort Benning. So we're all excited about that.
Good stuff. I know that you are excited about that. Very excited.
Yeah, very, very excited about that. And then I guess to round out our, you know, conversations of the Army wife life and the Army mom life and now the just mom life, my youngest daughter, my baby girl, turned 21 on the 29th of June. So we had a little birthday party for her. My oldest daughter threw her a birthday party over the weekend, and my other daughter, my third daughter, came in from North Carolina for the weekend to see her. So it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. So, but hard to believe that the baby girl is 21.
We call Paula the hot grandma around here because she, it's not possible that she could look like she does and have these children that are this age. So I just, it still blows my mind. I'm like, this cannot be true. This cannot be true.
It is true. So tell us about you. You have had some busy, busy weeks. What's going on with you?
Well, we are finally, I'm going to start with today and then I'll do a little backup. But we spent today, I worked this morning. I got up this morning and Kevin went back to work. And I got up when he got up, and he, you know, headed into work. And so I started the laundry, started the dishes, so, you know, the house, little house cleanup, that kind of thing. Came up here, and I worked for about 4 hours and caught up on a bunch of little stuff that I just really need to get done, like personal and just personal and work stuff, both. And then just little, you know how those little, and I told Kevin when I texted him, I said, it's the little things. It's the little things that have been nagging you that you had to get done that none of them took a long time, but all together they took a long, you know what I mean? Like you sit down, you have to do like 17 little things, but I got them all off my list and it was so nice. And the girls had movie night last night. They had a big party up here in the upstairs outside of my office here. And so they slept late. And so I let them sleep in so I could have a little work time, and then I got them up and we spent the day at the pool. I am worn out. Like, it's just crazy. Not like sore muscle worn out like I was, you know, a week ago, but just the sun, I think, just sucked the life out of me because I came home and Kevin's like, I think you need to drink some water. You don't look so good. I said, yeah, I don't feel so good. I think I just need to eat maybe and just kind of chillax a little bit because it's really hot out there. But it was great. We actually ended up at two different pools. We went to one pool, and then there was an incident, and they closed the pool, so we moved to another pool. We have five pools here in this neighborhood, so it was really nice to go find. We were like, oh, we'll just go find another one. Like, it was no big deal.
Well, you're
deal,
not
so that
pool
was,
four, are you?
It was
you're
pretty
not pool
awesome.
Four.
We are not, yeah, we are not pool poor, that's for sure. We didn't get one in our backyard, like the first house that we had picked out, but.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah. But, yeah, we did that all day long, and so then back up, we spent the weekend finally on Saturday. Sunday we relaxed. I let Kevin, I pretty much I took the girls to go get my nails done. I just, tell you what, it had been 3 weeks, and I'm a girl, I'm just going to admit it right now, that gets her nails done every 2 weeks. It's my thing, it's what I do. I know that if you're my friend on Facebook, you're like, dear Lord, how many times can this woman get her hair colored? But I like to have my hair colored and cut and look nice and my nails done. Some people buy shoes. Some people, you know, do whatever it is. Maybe you're a clothes person. I just, you know, it's always my hair, my nails. I feel like myself. Well, I have broken so many, and they're my, you know, natural nails. I just get them shellacked, but it's just a nice polish and makes my hands look nice. And I, you know, I talk a lot with my hands, and so I see them a lot. That kind of deal. I've got so much gray in my hair and new growth, and my nails look like Raggedy Ann. I mean, it was awful. So I told Kevin, I said, you take the Sunday off, you just chill and do whatever you want. Girls and I are going to go get our nails and toes done. So we found a new place, so that's like one thing off my list. Thank God I found a place that I love to get our nails done, so that made me really happy. And I asked somebody up at Pier 1 the other day. I saw them, thought their hair was cute, asked them where they got their hair done, and got an appointment for this week. So I'll be thrilled by the end of the week, and hopefully thrilled by the end of the week. That's my plan, at least. But, yeah, so Saturday we unpacked our last box. We got a bunch of little stuff done around here, and we finally feel like we're settled. Like, we sat down on Saturday night after we grilled out, and we just were like, we live here, which is a really great feeling. So there's hope out there, Starlet Henderson, if you're listening to this, because last week she said she was using me as her hope. There is hope out there that 2 or 3 weeks into it, you will finally feel settled. And, yeah, Kevin went to work today. He said, I think I'm going to like this. So that's good stuff. We, over the weekend, or over the last week, on Thursday, I told you guys last week on Monday that I had gotten tickets to the FC Dallas game. And so we got to go. Just one of those moments when you're sitting around after you've spent 16 years in the military, in military towns, and not getting to do – you get to do a lot of things, you know, around in the bigger towns that are around them, but you don't live in a big city ever. I mean, in the Army you don't. I don't know any big cities that are near installations, but – well, Colorado Springs, I guess, are probably the closest. But still, anyhow, we're not used to being able to do these things, but we got those tickets on VetTix, and – I was just in awe that, I mean, it was amazing. It was an awesome game. The tickets were free. They were normally like $35 a piece, so I thought that was pretty awesome for all four of us. They did a tribute at halftime to the fallen heroes, one in particular, and the American Fallen Soldier Project was there. And then we had just fireworks afterwards, and I got to meet Mallory. Mallory is actually from Frisco, which is where they play, and even though her husband is stationed and deployed out of Fort Hood, she still lives up here in Frisco because there's no point in her moving, obviously, and so she was at the game, too, and came and found me, and so we got to meet and watch the fireworks together, and it was just a great night. It was very, very fun, and I was just very thankful to the guys over at vettix.org for their, you know, for whoever donated them. I just thought that was awesome. And yeah, we had a good, I'm ready for a routine, but we had a really good week last week, and we really feel like we're settling. Chloe got a new gymnastics class. Now we just got to get Rena into some sort of soccer that works, because that was a failed attempt. But the only thing I'll say that I'm really missing around here, Paula, is my commissary. Now, I know that you are not used to having a commissary right there. So, you know, probably more used to this than me, but.
Not really, because when we were an active duty family, I mean, I loved the commissary. So, and I have to tell you, at Fort Knox last week when I was there, I just looked out the window there in the inn, and I'm going, I want to live on post again. Brent's looking at me like, and he's like, you know what? It was fun living on post.
Yeah, I love where we are. I will not complain. I have a Target. I have a Walmart. So this is not a complaint. I miss the prices. And I don't know.
Yes.
Guys, everybody's like, oh, Walmart's just as cheap. And I'm like, no, yeah. It's not. Like, I don't know if I'm just buying more crap when I'm at Walmart or what. But, I mean, I leave and I'm like, good Lord. I don't miss the produce at the commissary. I love the produce at my Walmart. It's amazing. I've told you guys about it. It's a flagship Walmart, so it's like spectacular. It really does have the fruit you see on the commercials, the Walmart commercials, that's the fruit in our store. So, I mean, it's good stuff, but it's, I miss a $2.50 box of cereal. I miss, a $2 bag of chips. I decided
We did a little experiment a few months ago, and I actually went up to Campbell, which is about 86 miles one way, and did a huge shopping. And you know what? I still ended up saving money, even with the gas, travel, and everything. So it was worth it.
Yeah, I I miss it, so I won't lie. I do. All right. Well, that's our week. That's what we did, and I'm glad that you guys had such a fun 4th of July, and I am going to tell you, I am so glad that we are settling in, and I'm going to get into some routine here soon. My kids, I think I told you this, they're getting a really extra long summer because they got out early May, and they don't go back until the end of August, and Chloe, bless her heart, she's like, when do we go back to school? Because I am dying here. I need some friends. I know, sweetie. So she's a crack up. She wants to go back to school so bad. And so hopefully soon. But we've got Grandma and Grandpa and a cousin coming down this weekend. And I'm traveling down to San Antonio. And Kevin's got a big exercise at his new job. So Grandma and Grandpa are coming down. And they're bringing a cousin with to play while we're gone. And so maybe that'll keep them busy a little bit. So.
Well, that'd be fun.
We'll see. All right, so we need to know what's going on over at AWN. We got some stuff for you guys after you caught up with us about all of our going-ons personally. Let's find out what's going on over at AWN.
Army Wives, it's not your grandma's army anymore.
The military, in this day and age, plays a whole different tune. Army Wife Network is listening. We are interactive empowerment for Army Wives. A network of Army Wives band together by the power of social media. Army Wives supporting each other by utilizing the array of resources available from military and civilian-led support systems. Here's what's going on at Army Wife Network this week.
At ease and check it out.
All right, so over at our AWN happenings, we've got a couple of really good columns out there. Under our parenting column, Armin Brott, a.k.a. is Mr. Dad, has written Read Your Way to a Closer Relationship with Your Teen or Tween. And it's another helpful column by him. He wrote Military Father. And Armin just released a new free app based on the Military Father. And like the first one, he did a Mr. Dad on pregnancy. This one is an interactive question and answer game. And what's nice about it is that players can compete against each other, which makes the game especially attractive to, like, couples that are separated by deployment or, you know, missions or something where they're not together, and it's something that they can play together. But the column under parenting is about reading your way to a closer relationship with your teen or tween, if that's something that you think you could, you know, do. I know that when my kids were younger, whatever they were reading in school, I would read also, so that we could kind of talk about it and discuss it and that sort of thing. And it also told me that they were doing their assignments, so it worked out pretty well. So that's a great article, and it's under our parenting column. And then we have recently, last week, released our AWN mobile app. But now this is not the Apple app yet. That one is still being created and, you know, out for approval and that sort of stuff. So the AWN mobile app can be found under Home on our main page, our ArmyWifeNetwork.com homepage. So if you click on Home, you'll see the link there for the mobile app. And so I'd be interested to know if anybody that we know of has downloaded that and what the response to that is. So if anybody out there listening wants to chime in and let us know how that is, that'd be great. And then under health and fitness, Nikki Fitness, she recommends the only detox cleanse, and it explains how the vegan and the vegetarian menus are beneficial and help you toward a more a trimmer waistline, which of course all of us, especially us middle-aged people, really enjoy having. So she's got some great tips there, and she also mentions resources and links to different recipes on that column too. And again, that's under the health and fitness column. If you go to ArmyWifeNetwork.com homepage and click under columns, you'll find those and a lot of other really good articles there under our contributors. And that's about what's going on with AWN Happenings.
All right, thanks. Hey, the Apple app is being submitted. It is waiting for Apple to approve it, so it's already done, and it looks gorgeous. I got to see what it looked like in the test mode But yeah. All righty. So let's see, what have we got here? We've got Facebook, and Facebook is at 52,227 with about 12,000 people talking about us, up to almost 13,000 people talking about us. This week our hot topics are, of course, National Ice Cream Month and 4th of July activities. We also did an In the Memory of the Prescott Firefighters there in Prescott, Arizona this week. It's been a rough week. All across the board there. So there was a lot of hot topics going on, actually a lot of conversation over there. And a big topic today was one of the blogs that went up from Loving a Soldier. Loving a Soldier blog, I wrote Connected Disconnection. And then, like I said, there's another couple that have gone up since then that you might want to go check out. Today's was about PTSD. And so actually it was, yes, I'm a spouse, but I have PTSD, so you can go check that out. And if you're interested in blogging with us, we've got blogging openings, and you can email us at info, that's info, at armywifenetwork.com. And so that's what we've got for our social media roundup. We have one PSA tonight, right?
Yes, we do. And it is time for us to fill the love tanks of military supporters out there and do our duty as good citizens to support them. It's public service announcement time. Do you or your business have a military-related PSA? We limit them to two per show and ask for them at least 10 days in advance. If you do, please email us at info@armywifenetwork.com. So our first one is Stray Boots Combat Sequester Setbacks with free tours to military personnel and their families. Stray Boots provides self-guided walking tours you play via your smartphone. And they are giving free vouchers to military personnel and their families across the country. With Fleet Week and other military programs canceled this year, Stray Boots sees it as their way of giving back to the men and women of the armed forces. Servicemen, women, and vets can claim any of their 60 tours through the website at www.straybootscom/military. Or at participating USOs from now until the end of the summer. And that's our PSA for this evening.
Okay, so tonight we have with us Miriam Goodman. She's the author of Too Much Togetherness, Surviving Retirement. But before you go, I'm not going to listen to this because I don't have a husband retiring. Just remember that it doesn't necessarily always apply to retirement. I said, as I was reading through all this, my husband's been on leave for almost 2 months while we PCS and went on vacation, and I am a firm believer in there is such thing as too much togetherness. And I'm not just talking about you and your spouse either. Like, I've got to have my
you
moments.
You know what? I was going to say that. I was going to say that too, because, you know, with my husband being home previously,
sometimes
not just related
just
to retirement.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, Brent was home for quite a while there with his injury, and you just, you know, it's like, I love you, but I need some space. And so this is going to be an interesting, very interesting talk tonight. And we are going to talk about retirement, but we're also going to talk about it as just a concept in and of itself. So you can find about Miriam and the book on TooMuchTogetherness.com. It's T-O-O, TooMuchTogetherness.com. Facebook.com/Miriam, it's M-I-R-I-A-M, .Goodman, and Twitter.com/MiriamGWrites. WRITES. And so you can follow her. I just go to TooMuchTogetherness.com because all the links are there. And then the resource of the week tonight, Cause Helping America's Military Wounded. It's cause-usa.org or facebook.com/helpwoundedwarriors. You guys should go check that out. We've got our Money Minute from USAA. But before we do all of that, Corey, who likes to play with my brain and tell me she's not showing up for the news tonight, is going to give us our headlines or else. So stay tuned for some headlines from our Corey News 6 and more Army Wife Talk Radio coming up.
For more than 140 years, the Armed Services YMCA has provided educational, recreational, and other support services to military families. The Armed Services YMCA takes care of the military so they can take care of us. This is General Norman Schwarzkopf. To find out how you can help support America's military families, visit asymca.org or call 1-800-597-1260.
It's time for the AWTR Live News 6 Report.
Our life, our family, our soldier, news you can use.
Now, with our headlines, it's our own AWN News 6.
Good evening, Army family. This is your News 6, Corey, giving you your need-to-know news. Two senators said Wednesday that they want Congress to improve voting opportunities for hundreds of thousands of U.S. military personnel stationed abroad by tightening rules on states for getting absentee ballots to them. Ahead of the 4th of July holiday, Senators Chuck Schumer of New York and John Cornyn of Texas said that they want to eliminate waivers for states that failed to mail ballots overseas 45 days before an election. States that missed the deadline would be required to mail the ballots out express mail, despite the much higher expense. The measure would toughen a 2010 law governing absentee voting in the military and the counting of those ballots. A congressional report estimated that 25% of ballots cast by military and overseas voters in the 2008 presidential election went uncounted. The senators plan to offer their measure as an amendment to this year's defense spending bill, which is making its way through Congress. The House passed it on June 14th. A Senate vote is expected sometime later this summer. And more than 650,000 civilian Defense Department workers will begin taking the first of their 11 unpaid days off next week. But the cut in salary they will see in the 3 months may pale compared to what officials worry could be larger-scale layoffs next year. Roughly 85% of the department's nearly 900,000 civilians around the world will be furloughed, according to the latest statistics provided by the Pentagon. But while defense officials were able to shift money around to limit the furloughs this year, there are widespread worries that if automatic budget cuts go forward for 2014, thousands of civilian, military, and contract jobs could be on the chopping block. Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel is expected to provide senators with more details early next week on how the next wave of across-the-board budget cuts will affect the department, said Pentagon Press Secretary George Little. But while defense officials have not yet released the details on the impacts of the cuts, General Ray Odierno, the Army's chief of staff, has warned that as many as 100,000 more active duty, National Guard, and reserve soldiers could lose their jobs if Congress allows billions of dollars in automatic budget cuts to continue next year. And with an eye to summer health, higher temperatures may translate into more time spent outdoors, but for pet owners, they can also mean more visits to the veterinarian. In the summer, we see more skin and ear infections and an increase in injuries overall, says a veterinarian at the University of Wisconsin. And here are a couple of ways to keep your pet sun safe during the summer. Use sunscreen, please. Shield delicate skin. Even though fur provides some protection from the sun, you should apply a pet sunblock every 3 to 4 hours to the least hair-covered spots. Bellies on dogs, especially the ones who like to lie on their backs, and ears and around eyes on cats, which are also areas where malignant tumors are likely to show up. Use products made specifically for pets. Ingredients such as zinc oxide can be toxic to pets. Keep coats long. While it may seem logical to cut your pet's coat short, resist the urge. If hair, even long hair, is brushed and not matted, it provides better circulation and helps her regulate her body temperature, says the president of the American Veterinary Medical Association. Soothe burns safely. If your pet does get burned, apply a thin layer of pure aloe vera twice daily to soothe the irritated area. Make sure you check the brand with your vet first for pet safety. For more tips on keeping your pet safe and healthy this summer, we've posted a link to this article on the Army Wife Network Facebook page. Those are your need-to-know news stories for this week. Stay tuned to the Army Wife Network Facebook page for updates throughout the week. This is your News 6, Corey, signing out.
Thanks, Corey. Everybody stay tuned for Too Much Togetherness, Surviving Retirement as a Couple. We'll be right back.
Okay, I got it.
It's easy to take your world for granted. Most days go by without a whole lot of surprises. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life as you know it has completely turned on its head? What if everything familiar becomes anything but? Would you be prepared? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, it's up to you to be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Today. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Ready.gov. This message brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
Army Wife Network is a community on a mission to empower those who follow. We have been your trusted resource for advice and information on this Army journey. Now, AWN is giving you more with the introduction of AWN Shopping. AWN Shopping is a one-of-a-kind online shopping experience. AWN Shopping makes it easy to shop with all your favorite online stores like Kohl's, Old Navy, Target, and more. You can even share great deals or your favorite items with your friends and family. The best part is that you'll just be doing your regular shopping, but you'll be earning money for yourself and for our network through those purchases. Log on to shop.armywifenetwork.com to learn more and start saving while supporting Army Wife Network today.
You're listening to Army Wife Talk Radio live here on the Army Wife Network. Our live show is broadcast every Monday night. Join us in our live chat room at blogtalkradio.com/AWTR. Miss the live show or just can't make it? Don't worry, AWTR is available in archived format 24/7 via our website www.armywifenetwork.com or on iTunes. It's interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Army Wife Talk Radio here live on the Army Wife Network. I'm your host, Tara Crooks.
And I'm your host, Paula Swanson, sitting in for Star Henderson tonight. Tonight we have with us Miriam Goodman, journalist, author, award-winning radio and television producer, and public relations consultant. She has received two Emmy nominations for her television documentaries, and she's also a columnist for Examiner.com and contributor to other online publications.
Miriam's latest book, Too Much Togetherness, Surviving Retirement as a Couple, deals with the controversial topic, can couples really spend all day, every day, with each other as they age? We are pleased to welcome Miriam to our show tonight and talk about, is this concept just for retiring, or... We're pretty sure that this is just true in and of itself there, Miriam, but we're glad to have you here on the show with us tonight. Are you there?
I am certainly here, and I heard your conversation earlier about, even when the men are home for extended periods of time, women feel guilty about taking time for themselves and for saying, well, wait a minute, you know, I have a life too. I consider it sort of the dirty little secret of retirement. Nobody wants to talk about it, and people are embarrassed, and once my book came out, people were glad they got it, you know, the women.
Yeah, somebody said it out loud.
Yeah, they said, Thank God that somebody, because women really felt guilty that they thought they were supposed to be full-time devoted to their husbands, and you know, it just can't be like that.
Well, and you know, I mean, most of life, and we'll dig into all this, but most of life is just knowing that you're normal. And if you're having these feelings and you're thinking, dear God, I'm going to kill you, you know, but I'm supposed to love you, but I just want you to get out of this room right now because you're driving me crazy. You just want to know that other people also feel like that too. And, you know, and it might not just be that. It's with everything in life. I mean, I know that that's what I reach for a lot is just someone tell me that I'm not the only one who wants 10 minutes away from my children or, you know, whatever
exactly.
It is.
Without feeling guilty about it, that's right.
Yeah, to relieve some of that guilt, I think. Before we get started, if you would, I'd love it if you tell us a little bit about you and your family. We kind of talked about your professional side, but where are you calling from tonight?
Actually, I live in San Francisco, but I'm calling from Berkeley because later this evening I have tickets to the theater, and I came over here and it was quite interesting. It took me an hour and a half to cross the bridge. The traffic is so terrible. And I just wanted to be sure I got, you know, someplace where I could sit down and talk to you on time. So I'm in Berkeley, California, at a friend's house. It's a beautiful sunny day here. It's been beautiful for the last few weeks, as far as I know, in California. You know, I know the rest of the country's been having some crazy weather, but we're doing great. And in terms of my family, my husband served in the Army in the late 60s, we came to California because he was stationed here. And otherwise, we probably would still be on the East Coast where we met. And we have a 29-year-old daughter who now lives in New York.
Oh, wow.
So you had to survive retirement?
Only partially. My husband, he works for himself, so he takes a couple days off to play golf. And he doesn't work too hard. He's kind of slowing down. But I see that even though I've written all these books about retirement, the message hasn't really gotten out there because you can't play golf in the winter when it's raining. You can't play golf when it's cold. And I keep saying, you need a passion. You need to find
something
with your life.
You need something to do.
Yeah, you do. I said, you don't listen to me, do you? You don't read the book. But, it's interesting because we see how other people are doing it. And no one knows what goes on in the privacy of a couple. And you know that. We don't know how they interact and how they decide. But I know from talking to so many people myself and from talking to so many women, there is a lot of unspoken resentment. And, my books are not intended to beat up on the men, but women have to respect themselves. They have to say, it's my turn. I need some me time. It's okay for me to do this. I don't have to completely devote myself to other people my entire life. And, as much as we've had feminism for the last 50 years and we've had women, having their own careers and working outside the home and sharing parenting with their spouses and all these things, there still is that sort of residual thing that women feel like, oh, my God, I need to take care of him. I always laugh. Years ago, with my mother-in-law would go out to play bridge, which she often did in the afternoon. She'd say that her husband would call and say, where do you keep the ice? It's like he hadn't acquainted himself with the refrigerator all these years. He just wanted to connect with her, so he'd call with that kind of a question. But so many men who are leaders at work, have a real good self-image, the strength and power of leadership. When they don't have that anymore, they kind of fall apart. And women feel they need to be there to pick up the pieces. And we don't know how to do that. We're not, all therapists. And, in fact, therapists don't know what to do with it. So it's a real interesting dilemma. I think it's new to this generation. Army wives, I think, have had a little bit of rehearsal because they have had so much downtime in between assignments and things. It's like teachers, who have their summers off, they get used to that time and how to fill it. And, the first weeks
are
great.
I will say, Miriam, when we get used to it like that, I think it makes it even harder because you do get used to that downtime a little bit, having some separation there. And then they come back and all you can do is just it's just urge them to go back to work and urge them to find a hobby.
Right.
And spend some time apart.
Yeah, I'm giving some workshops next week, and one of them is called, so are you going to be here all the time now? That's the whole question. Because, many women, and for so many women, the home is their domain.
That is true. And then you're
get out.
But it's their house, too. Yeah. I know.
My dad
retired, and my mom, she's getting ready to retire. Actually, Kevin's parents. And it's just going to be, and then my parents, my dad's a truck driver and he's gone a lot. My mom is home and runs her own business. And so, both of them, when they come back together, they've had so much time apart, it's really going to hurt. So it's interesting to watch that stage of their life, too. Before we dig in here, let's dig in here. Tell us briefly about your book and how it came about.
It came about because I noticed that in any conversations about retirement, the women I knew's first response was, my husband's not allowed to retire. He cannot retire. He won't know what he's going to do with himself. He'll drive me crazy. He'll drive himself crazy. He'll get old and then he'll die. Basically that's what everybody's saying to each other. And I thought, you know, this is a really interesting phenomenon. And I looked around at people who were retiring, and I started sort of researching and asking people, what's happening to the dynamic of a couple? And I saw what happened in with my own parents. My father was ill, and so my mother retired to be with him. And he died, and then she had nothing. She didn't have her career anymore. She didn't have her partner anymore. And it was a disaster. It was really a disaster. And, you know, we're all boomers, and we think that we have to reinvent everything, and we have to make it different for ourselves. We're not going to do it the way our parents did it. So I just started talking to people over and over again. How was your retirement? What happened? How did your husband react? How did you react? I started talking to women who were still working after their husbands retired. And that was an interesting phenomenon, because then when they came back to the home, the husband kind of thought he was in charge of the home. So, you know, it was a good mix of people, and I found that nobody knew what to do. And then as I started doing even more research, I found out that I had mentioned therapy earlier, that therapists, by and large, when they learn about this as a depressed person and how to treat depressed people, the model had always been a woman. A woman was the depressed person. If you would even see ads in medical journals advertising antidepressants, it was always a woman standing in the kitchen looking like she was about to cry. And it turns out that they have nothing to fall back on in terms of treating depressed men. And a lot of men who leave their careers either because they want to or because they have to end up depressed. And therapists don't know what to do with them. So it's been a real, real change in a lot of areas in the last 10 or 20 years with two people in the family working and then retiring, with men becoming depressed and seeking help and not being able to find the right kind of help. So I wrote the book because I thought that there was this unspoken secret that needed to be talked about, and I wanted to get the conversation started.
Well, Miriam, so many times people say that they're afraid to retire, and of course you've touched on depression being probably one issue that they're afraid of. Are there other fears that you've discovered?
Well, you know, first you have to think about what do you get from work? And besides money, you get purpose, you get community, and you get structure. Well, when you give those up, when you retire, you need to replace those. And, you know, many Army wives have gone through this many times. When they move, they have to go out and create a new community. Well, when you retire, you have to go out and create a new community, too. And the older you are, the harder it is. And, you know, you feel that same rejection you might have felt, you know, at the cool table in high school. You know, you've got to go up to people and make an effort. And that is really not an easy thing. The same thing with purpose. You know, you want to feel you're doing something, that you're valuable, that there's a reason to get up in the morning. And if you don't have a job to go to, you have to replicate that somehow in your life. And that's not so easy to look around and find something that really works for you. And that structure thing, that knowing where you had to be every day, and now you have that whole day open to you, you don't get a lot done. You get a lot less done because you say, well, I have all day to do it. So all these things can lead you to fear that the next 20, 30 years, whatever you have, are not going to be that golden walk in the sunset that everybody promised us. And then there's those unspoken fears of aging, fragility.
Yeah, I was going to say aging, death, life over.
Right. And we don't talk about it. I mean, what comes after retirement? You know, you have and there's retirement, and then what?
In the book, you talk about it being, you know, people seeing it as a midlife crisis, things that we can get over. Do you think that retirement is just one of those things that we just need to get over? We need to stop stressing about it?
No, I don't. I think you really have to work at it. I think you have to find that structure, that community, that passion. And I think you have to talk about it with your partner, how you feel, especially if you see that he's depressed. If you see that, and depression in men doesn't look like depression to women. It doesn't mean they sit around saying, woe is me, and cry all day long. Sometimes they sleep a lot, and I mean a lot. And they sleep all the time, and they sit in there watching television, and they're asleep. Or you go to somebody else's house in the evening, and they fall asleep. And it's really, it's a sign of depression. And people need to be physically active. You know, that's important for their head, and it's important for their body, and it's important for their personality. You know, nobody wants to sit around somebody who says, oh, I'm not interested in anything, I don't want to do anything. I mean, even these guys who sit at the computer all day long, they're isolating themselves from the rest of the world. They're isolating themselves from their family. So all of us have to say we got to get up and get out, and we have to be part of the community. We have to be part of the world, and we have to do whatever we can to avoid boredom.
Okay, so we're retired. Say you and your spouse are retired. How can the couples that are in retirement, how can they keep their separate yet together lives? I mean, how do they
right,
do
like,
that?
Like, how can they deal with space? Like, you know how you just kind of, like, have to have
right,
your space?
Yeah.
How do you do that
right,
when you're both home
yeah,
and not upset each other?
Well, you've got to designate an area for each of you. This is my space, and this is what I want. I went for a walk with a friend this morning, and she said, oh, my God, my husband's using the bedroom now as his desk. She says, I just had to get out of there. You know, and everybody has to find some space. You know, maybe it can be the dining room table. Maybe it can be a corner, you know, turn a closet into a little office. Whatever it is, you have to give space to each other and know that that's that person's space. And you can't come in and say, oh, you've left it a mess, you know. That's up to the other person. That's their space. That's one thing. The other thing I like to suggest is that you get one of those really big calendars that they have at stationery stores. And you look at each week and you say, okay, what do you have this week? I've got my tennis game. You've got golf on Tuesday. I've got, you know, my book group on Wednesday. Why don't we make Thursday a date night? We'll go out to dinner and we'll go to a movie. You know, and then you've written it all down. You have something to look forward to. You don't have an entirely empty calendar. And you can fill it in as you go along, because that empty calendar is really scary. It's like, well, why should I even bother to get up this morning? I don't have anything to do. And the older you get, I don't know if this has happened with your parents, but the older you get, they start filling those days up with doctor's appointments. Well, there's a lot more fun for things that are fun to do than go to the doctor all the time. So you really have to find stuff that you want to do. It doesn't have to be important. It just has to be pleasant to you. You know, maybe it's taking a walk. Maybe it's going to the library. Maybe it's tutoring some children who have reading problems. You know, maybe it's coaching a little league team. Whatever it is, you have to find something that's important to you that you want to do alone. Then when you come back together as a couple, you have something to talk about. You feel good about yourself. You can share where you've been, share what you've learned. And it's much more pleasant than, you know, two of you sitting around bored.
Okay, well, that brings up a good point, okay? When, you know, you each have your own roles and your own things that you're doing and your individual activities and that sort of thing, how can you avoid making, you know, things that you do around the house, like shopping for groceries or somebody doing the laundry? How do you prevent those from becoming a power issue? Is that something
Right, that's something that's come up a lot. You know, some people have said, you know, now that I'm older, I don't worry about it. I just forget it. You know, like my husband, and here, my personal thing, my husband does not like the way I load the dishwasher. You know, he'll come in and say he can do it better, and he'll rearrange everything. You know, and some
Amen.
Women will see it. You know, some women will see that as a real rejection of their housekeeping.
I see it as he wants to do the dishes. We just let him do it.
Yeah, right. Let him do it.
Fine.
Yeah,
great.
Boy,
you
if he's got
it.
A better way, let him do it. Exactly. You know,
this
I had one woman tell me.
The T-shirts. I say, you want your
right.
T-shirts folded like that? By all means, fold every T-shirt you have.
Yes, be my guest. Right. Yes. Well, I had one woman tell me that her husband went with her to the supermarket, which is pretty awful. Don't let him in the car. But he told her that the route she had taken for the last 40 years was the wrong way to get there. Oh, no, you shouldn't drive this way. You should go this way. That's a much better street, you know, all this stuff. So it's up to you. Either you make it a power issue, or you give in, or you say, I don't care. You know,
or
I'm not going to worry
drive.
About this. Yeah, just
whatever.
Let him drive. Let him go. Send him to the store. Let him go to the store. You know, here's the list. Of course, he's going to come home with 12 cases of tomato sauce.
I would say, good God, no tell him what we would have if I sent him to the store with the list.
Right. You know, well, yeah, but, the thing is, you have to decide what you want to fight about. You know,
right.
I mean, you've
pick
known this your whole marriage, but you got to pick your battles. And you know, I interviewed a woman who said her husband retired. He was president of a big corporation, and he was sitting around, and he didn't know what to do. One day, and she was still working, one day she came home, and he handed her a printout from the computer. He says, this is the way you should organize the pantry. You know, I counted how many cans of this you have and how many boxes of pasta, and this. And he says, and this is a better way. And she turns to him, puts it in a shredder, and she says, get a job.
You can
imagine, they don't know what to do. And, you know, I don't know if it's the way we bring up boys or, you know, I don't know what the problem is. But, you know, if these guys don't have tasks and rewards and something right in front of them, they kind of go nuts.
Well, hey, I'm quite frank with you. I'm kind of like that too. So I learned in my retirement, basically when I started staying home, right after we had kids, I left my full-time job and I stayed home with Renna. And I learned in the first 2 months of staying home with Renna that I was going to go crazy. I am a tasky person and I need tasks.
Right.
And I had that poor kid on such a schedule that it was ridiculous. And it wasn't about her. It was about me. And so you kind of have to do a little internal searching there too. I mean, men and women just handle things very differently. And not even just men and women, but different personalities. And so you might end up with, you might want to do some personality checking to see how you're communicating too, because I mean, my husband and I get along so well at home, I think, because we share similar personalities at work. I think if we were at work together, we would make each other crazy. And so we do well because I'm in charge at home and he's in charge at work. But when he comes home and he's retired, he will want to be in charge in my domain, and it's not going to work. And I can see
right.
it now.
Well, that's why you have to talk about it. You know, it's so funny. You know, you're married 40 years, your husband retires, and you think, well, we've been through all these issues. We've had the crises, you know, the calamities, the financial problems, the marital problems, the family problems, everything. Well, we should know how to handle this, and we just don't. We don't have any role models. We don't have anybody that sort of eases you into it. You know, I kind of think of, if you think of life in stages, you know, the first day you go to school, your mother, your grandparents, your friends, everything, think, oh, you're going to love school. It's going to be great. And you get to school and the teacher takes you by the hand and takes you to your desk and shows you what's going to happen. And, you know, and this goes on throughout your life. Your first day of high school, you know, somebody shows you what to do. Your first day of college, somebody's there to say, you know, take these classes. This is how you get there. You know, the same thing happens in your career. Well, hey, you know, here comes retirement and nobody tells you anything. Nobody tells you anything you don't know. I mean, there are people who are thrilled. There are people who say, I am so busy, I don't know when I had time to work. You know, you've heard that one, I'm sure, before. And there's some people that say, well, you know, what am I going to do today? I don't know. I had one woman come up to me after a book event and she said, you know, I don't have grandchildren. And my friends are all busy with their grandchildren. I really resent that. You know, they don't have time for me anymore. Well, you know, the simple answer is pretty soon your grandchildren aren't going to have time for you either. It's cute when they're 4 and 5 and you're picking them up at nursery school. But once they've got soccer practice and, you know, violin lessons and whatever else they're doing after school, that they're going to say goodbye to the grandparents as fast as they can. So you can't devote your time to your grandchildren. You know, and then you're going to look around and say, ooh, what happened to all those friends I've been neglecting for the last 5 years? People have to talk about it. They have to be honest about it. They have to say, this scares me. You know, I don't know what I'm going to do. I've been a multitasker my whole life, and right now, you know, I haven't even figured out what's time for me. You know, what I'm going to do for myself, much less what I'm going to do to support my husband emotionally. So if you get it out there, you find all kinds of solutions, and some work and some don't. But the beauty of retirement is you can move on to the next one and nobody's hurt.
I was just talking in the chat room. We were all talking about how even if you didn't get another full-time job, that you might have to do something part-time or volunteer-wise or something just to, you know, in your passion. And if it wasn't about money, you could even find something that you really, really wanted to do, just to spend a couple of hours or something. Just something to get
right.
And you have to do it.
You know, I always say it's not only about you. First of all, it is about you, and be sure to pull that time for yourself that is about you. But then at the end, you have to say it's not just about you. You know, give back somehow, do some volunteering, do something, and even if it's going over and visit the elderly neighbor who nobody ever comes to see, you know, do something every day to enhance your life, you know.
And I think the thing was is Dad always thought, you know, when he retired, he was going to – we were just, you know, Corey, I think. No, someone just said this. Maggie just said it was a permanent vacation, and that people think that retirement is a permanent vacation, but vacations are expensive. And Dad used to think, oh, as soon as you retire, he was going to go do all of this stuff, and then he realized that, you know, like there's not a ton of money coming in, and you go, you know.
Right.
So it's a change in that, too. So you do have to, you know, find something.
You have to plan. You have to start thinking about it before you retire, too, you know, in your 40s when you're so busy and you're overwhelmed and you say, I don't have time for a class and I'd really like to learn more about photography, but I don't have time. You know what? You have time. You know, if it's one evening in a week and you can go do something for 2 hours, go do it, because by the time you retire, you're going to be pretty good at it and you're going to know, is this something I really want to spend hours on?
That's
or
true.
Do I really want to go back to my guitar and do that? You know,
that's some good,
you really
good
have to
planning.
Start thinking about it younger, right? Yeah. Planning is important, but it's hard.
But, Miriam, okay, so our spouse is retired, and we're not. Maybe we're still working. And we see that after they come home, you know, at first maybe they spend a couple of weeks kind of getting their feet wet, thinking they are on this tiny vacation, you know, kind of deal. And then it kind of hits that they're not back in the office, that they're not doing, or you know, wherever it was that they were working, that they're not having that interaction, that schedule that they were used to, and we're starting to seem like maybe they're depressed. What are some warning signs that we need to be kind of watching out for?
Well, the one is that sleeping a lot. Another one is if he was the guy who had wine with dinner, is he now having a little cocktail before dinner? Is he having another drink after dinner? I mean, these are good signs. If the drinking, you know, ramps up a little bit. Another thing is if he doesn't get up and get out of the house. If he's a guy who was active before physically, you've got to get him out there. I have to say that, and this is something every wife knows. You know how to communicate with your husband in the best way. Now, for example, let's say you think your husband needs to go to the gym. Do you say to him, honey, you're getting that tire around your waist, you need to go to the gym? Or do you call up your girlfriend and say, let's do this together? Your husband could call my husband and they could go to the gym together. Or do you go get a flyer that describes the gym and you leave it on the coffee table and hope that he'll pick it up and look at it? You know, everybody knows what works in their own marriage. Sometimes the wife mentioning it is the worst thing, you know, and sometimes a guy likes this. Questions from his wife. You know what I mean? It's you have to know what method works best with your husband. But the main thing is you have to, and I have to tell you, I said to a friend of mine, you've got to make play dates for your husband. She went crazy. She said, I didn't sign up for this. I've been working for 40 years. I raised the kids. I did everything. It's not my job to take care of him and make it play dates and do his whole social calendar. And I said, are you happy with the way things are now? Oh, well, then try this and see if it works. You know, it's not, they're not children. Once they start doing something they like, they're going to get into it. But sometimes they just need their wives to push them. And I'm sorry, but it's the truth.
But you know what? That brings up a good question when you talk about children, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
how, as a retiree, how should we deal with the expectations of our adult children?
Well, that's the thing, you know, it's like, let Dad do it. He doesn't have anything else to do. You know, Mom will pick the kids up from school. They don't, sometimes your adult children don't respect your time. So my advice is you've got to respect your time first. And
shut
when
up.
The kids
Seriously?
Say, well,
Miriam, that never happens in my house. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I mean, you know, like, well, we, Mom, I mean, I swear, I was in Ann Arbor, Michigan, interviewing people because I wanted kind of a Midwestern perspective. And this man told me that he had agreed to pick up his grandchildren from nursery school 3 days a week because his daughter was working longer hours those 3 days. So then he and his wife decided they wanted to go on a cruise. And the cruise was long. I don't know, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, something like that.
Good
so
Lord.
He calls his daughter up and says, I'm not going to be able to pick the kids
talk
up.
Talk about too much togetherness. A four-week cruise,
right.
I'd be done.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was long. I don't remember how long it was. But anyway, he said, you know, I'm not going to be able to pick the kids up. So she says, well, that's good that you're going on a cruise, but you're going to have to find somebody to pick up the kids.
Oh.
This is what his daughter said to him. So, you know, our kids expect help, and they sometimes they think it's just a given. My parents retired. Now they're full-time support staff for me. Sometimes kids really need it. You know, they need your help financially. They need your help to be present, to pick up the kids because they're at work and they can't leave. You know, you have to work that all out. You know, if you're fortunate enough to be in the same town as your grandchildren, you know, that's the other thing. My sister-in-law retired because her grandchildren are scattered all around the country. She said, I don't want to have to think about, okay, I'm going to have to work late, you know, for 2 weeks so I can go across country and see my grandchildren. So she just retired. But everybody's got to work out what they want to do, but they have to sit down with their kids and say, you know, you have to respect my time. My bridge game is my tennis game, my book group is just as important as you're thinking I can come over and babysit. And, you know, people don't like to hear it, you know, but more than parents criticizing the children don't want to criticize their parents either. So you have to find a way to talk about it that works for both of you.
Yeah, that's true.
Good and point. That's true of this whole issue. You've got to talk about it unemotionally, but reveal your feelings. You don't want to resent them. You don't want to say 20 years from now, I regret that I didn't stick up for myself. You know, I regret that my husband wanted us to retire to Florida so he could fish, and I wanted to be in New York City so I could go to the theater, and I didn't say it, and I didn't insist. You know, that's not what life's all about.
Absolutely agree. So, Miriam, where can we go to find your book and for more information? We've got a couple minutes before we wrap up.
Okay. You can find my book online, not only Amazon and the other online places. You can get it from your bookstore. I love it when people support independent bookstores. A lot of those bookstores don't carry the book, but they will get it for you immediately. I think it takes 3 days. The book's only $10. It really, if nothing else, it starts the conversation. It's that same thing. If you get the book and you read it and you think there's some hints in there that might help your husband, just leave it on the table. He might pick it up. Leave it in the bathroom, you know. Leave it wherever he might have some. Because, you know, there's some talking points. There's some solutions and some conclusions that I came to from talking to hundreds and hundreds of people. And there is no blueprint that's going to work for everybody. You have to know the dynamic of your relationship as a couple, and you have to know, you know, whether your husband needs to be pushed or whether he's independent enough to go out and find a life for himself that's independent and still has time for the two of you to share.
Well, this is absolutely awesome information, and I had such a good time tonight, and I know Paula did too. Hope you did, and we really appreciate you sharing.
Yes, no, it's great. I always like it when people, you know, when people tackle a problem that they didn't think was going to be a problem, and you know, everything in life, if you talk about it first and you reveal your feelings, is going to be a lot easier.
Yeah, well, that's the forward
that's
thinking.
My word.
We always like.
Yes.
We like preemptive striking. That's what we say. We're preemptive striking.
Right, exactly. So the book is called Too Much Togetherness, and I hope people, you know, look for it and read it, and I hope it helps them.
Awesome,
thanks,
Miriam.
So much,
thank
Miriam.
You so much. Listeners, you can
thank
go to TooMuchTogetherness.com and check out Miriam's book. And that does it for our main guest. Thanks, Miriam.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, don't go anywhere, guys. Up next, it's Rebecca with our Resource of the Week, so stay tuned. More Army Wife Talk Radio coming right up.
I had PTSD. Once I was back from Iraq, I was distant from everybody in my family.
We had a reunion of our unit, and you'd hear these spouses say, "Is your husband doing that? My husband's doing that too. I thought it was just us." And really understanding that, hey, this is a common experience.
I learned more to listen to what he was saying, and that made it easier for me to understand where his pain was coming from.
Resources are available for military families. Learn more at realwarriors.net.
This is Army Wife Talk Radio Live. Give us a call to share your story. Now, it's time for the AWTR Resource of the Week.
Welcome back to Army Wife Talk Radio. It's time for our Resource of the Week, and I'm your host, Rebecca Homan. Every week, we feature informative resources for you, our military families, and this week, we have with us Shannon Stinson, Program Coordinator for COS, Comfort for America's Uniformed Services. Shannon, are you there?
I am. Thanks for having me.
How are you tonight, Shannon?
I'm great. Thank you. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
Good.
First, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and where you're calling us from tonight?
Sure. I am a former Army spouse to a warrior who served in Operation Iraqi Freedom in 2009 with the 1st Cavalry Division out of Fort Hood, Texas. And after he returned with severe PTSD, he was subsequently retired. And I decided to make it my mission to continue to serve wounded service members and their families because I strongly believe that they, you know, sacrifice so much for us and we need to give them as much support as we possibly can. And I am currently calling from Northern Virginia, right outside the D.C. area.
Woohoo! That's a nice area.
It is.
I like to visit there. When I can, so.
Yeah, it's wonderful. The traffic is not fun, but there are a lot of great, you know, great things about the D.C. area that make it great, so.
There are. There really are. So tell us a little bit about COS and how and why it began.
Sure. So as you mentioned, COS stands for Comfort for America's Uniformed Services. And this is actually our 10th year, and so we began in 2003, and we were founded by a few class of 1967 West Point graduates and their wives. And with their experiences serving in Vietnam, they really wanted it to be different for the Iraq and Afghanistan veterans that were returning from war. And they wanted to make sure that, you know, they were there for the guys and the girls who were here for us. And so through our different programs that we offer and how we've evolved over the years, you know, we really, really try to take care of the wounded service members and their families and as well as their caregivers as best we can.
Well, great. So that being just a little bit of an overview, what is the mission of COS?
Sure. So the mission is to be here for those who are there for us. And we serve Iraq and Afghanistan wounded service members, their families, and their caretakers. And like I said, through our various programs that I'll touch on, you know, we try to offer a little bit of comfort, a little bit of peace, a little relaxation, some recreation, just some different programs that are, you know, available at different locations all across the country to allow them to have a little bit of, you know, respite from some of their medical surgeries and other treatments that they're going through. It's important to allow, you know, them to have a little bit of time. So that's what we try to strive for.
Well, that sounds pretty amazing. I know I was looking over your website a few times, and I was just really amazed at what you have and where you have programs and different dinners and whatnot,
sure.
And just different other things. So can you describe some of your programs and their locations for us?
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to. So we started the organization back in 2003 with our Gift Pack program, and that took place at Walter Reed, actually, when it was back in Washington, D.C., before it moved to Bethesda. And we would deliver toiletry items and other, you know, magazines, games, and things like that to warriors who had just come off the battlefield with injuries from, you know, overseas in Iraq or Afghanistan. And when they made their way from Landstuhl, Germany, over here to Walter Reed, we would be there by their bedside to give them something to cheer them up. And then it evolved into our game cart program, which is actually a really neat mobile gaming system that goes at bedside. So when these guys and gals are recovering in the hospitals, they're actually able to, you know, play their video games right there in the beds with them. And, you know, there's been some studies that shown that, you know, certain games, you know, on things like the PlayStation and Xbox can actually help with PTSD as well. So
That's another program that we have. We also have our CDEL, which stands for Cause Digital Entertainment Library. And those are basically like blockbusters on wheels or mini blockbusters. We have those a lot at the major medical centers across the country. And those offer the service members and their families a chance to come out and check out the latest new release DVDs, games, things for the families. And they're able to check those out at no cost to them, watch them, and then bring them back and get something new. And then our most popular program is our massage, Reiki, and reflexology program. And that's really where we're focusing a lot of our future vision with Cause. We see a lot of great feedback from the service members, families, and caretakers who use the program. We offer that at different locations across the country, including Fort Hood, Texas, Fort Riley, Fort Belvoir, and Walter Reed. And again, we're currently looking at expanding that into other locations, as well as hopefully into the community, so that Cause can be there from the time that they're injured all the way back into their transition into civilian life.
Well, that's really pretty neat. I know you touched on just a couple. What all comes in the gift packs specifically? That was one of the first things you talked about.
Sure. So our gift pack program, again, it's kind of dwindled down a little bit just because of the numbers that are returning wounded. You know, the great news is that, you know, it's not the wounded are not returning in such high numbers as they were at the beginning of the wars. So basically with that, there's, you know, games, little handheld gaming units, you know, like solitaire, little Uno, electronic systems, different toiletry items. And some, you know, clothing, just whatever kind of, you know, fun things we can provide, snacks that they can share with their families as well. And we put them in a nice little bag. We get some cards in there. We have people who donate quilts that they make, you know, teddy bear, patriotic teddy bears. We put all that together in a nice bag and deliver that to them at Walter Reed when they arrive.
Okay. Now, do people actually donate these things, or do they donate money and you go out and buy them, or how does how is this all funded, I guess,
So our gift packs, we're pretty set right now on donations as far as tangible items. We always are willing to, we always have a need for gift certificates that we like to include in the gift packs whenever possible. So things like Target gift cards, Subway gift cards, and things of that nature, those are always great to include as well. And then as far as our other programs, everything is donor-funded because we're a 501c3 official nonprofit. So, you know, we take individual donations, corporations can come in, businesses, grants, and things of that nature. So that's what funds all of our programs.
Well, that's pretty neat. I'm sorry. I'm going back and forth between a couple screens and as we're talking about. I have your website pulled up, so I want to make sure. Now, the sporting events, now, do you guys actually get tickets to take them to events, or is that something that happens more like at the hospitals, like you get together a big, like a Super Bowl party, for example? Is that more of the kind of sporting events that you do?
We actually do both. We rely on individuals who come forward if they happen to have tickets to events, especially in our locations. If we have a wounded population in some of the locations that we actually have our programs, it's much easier for us to find warriors and families who can actually attend physical events. So if there are people out there who have tickets to sporting events that they want to donate, like to an NFL game or a basketball game, things of that nature, you can donate those to us. Call us ahead of time, obviously, and just make sure we can use them. And then we can, you know, facilitate getting them to Warriors. And then as far as the actual other sporting events that we do, every now and then we'll have a Super Bowl party, and we're looking at restarting our UFC program out at Fort Belvoir with the USO Warrior and Family Center that just opened up there. So those the different type of sporting events that we do.
Great. That's really kind of cool.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Now, I know you also allow family and caregivers to use your program as well. Can you explain how important this is and what the importance is?
Sure, absolutely. Speaking from personal experience, you know, it's really tough. I mean, military life is tough in general. We all know that. But then when you have a, you know, sudden change where, you know, you're in, you know, you're taking care of a wounded warrior, you're taking care of someone you love, and you become that person's military, you know, their health advocate and their biggest supporter, and it can be very exhausting. So we see some of the same type of symptoms that wounded warriors have in our caregivers. So they just get exhausted, they get burned out, you know, they're taking care of families, they're, you know, either leaving their jobs or still trying to work and still trying to care for their warriors. So it's very overwhelming. And so we offer our programs to caregivers and to spouses as well, girlfriends, boyfriends, family members, moms, dads, siblings. Anyone can use our programs as long as they're, you know, related or caring for a wounded warrior. And that's just a big part of what CAUSE believes, and we really believe in being there for everybody who's there for us. And so it's really important that caregivers are allowed to use our programs as well. And we see a lot of them come out to our massage, Reiki, and reflexology program. And I'll just tell you from firsthand experience, when I visit, you know, Fort Belvoir or Walter Reed, just to be able to see, you know, moms and dads and spouses and significant others, you know, have that sense of peace after they get a massage and just feel like, oh, wow, I can actually go home and I can relax now and I can get a really good night's sleep. That's so important to know. So it's really great that, you know, we're playing a part in helping them feel at peace as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I like the idea of the massage. And I was looking in the yoga and the Reiki and that kind of stuff. I just think it's so cool.
Oh, what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. So what is some of the feedback you've received from warriors and their families who use CAUSE?
Sure. So some of the most powerful evidence that we have is, you know, one time I was out and we got some feedback from a warrior who had, you know, severe PTSD. And after he received a couple different treatments of massage and Reiki for the evening, he shared with our volunteers and our practitioners that he was actually going to be able to sleep for the first time, you know, in a very long time that evening without any problems. We've had service members fall asleep on the table and, you know, not have nightmares while they're laying on the table getting their treatment. So, you know, just to know that we can provide them with, you know, 20 minutes or 40 minutes of relaxation where they have some peace is absolutely phenomenal. So it's just great to see a look on their faces. You know, they come into the appointment, that you can tell they're really, you know, just drugged down and just overwhelmed and exhausted and just tired of everything they have to go through every single day. I mean, a lot of these guys and girls have a day full of appointments and going to the gym and trying to rehab every single day over and over again. So when they can come in and they go to their appointment and they get their relaxation treatment and they come out and they just look so much lighter, their faces look so much lighter, and you can just tell there's something different about them. So we know that our programs are making a really big impact, and we hope that we can continue to grow them and bring them into other communities.
Speaking of growing them, now, do you guys ever look for volunteers to help out with your events, with your programs, and especially, like, do you ever look for people just to donate their services as a massage therapist or as a reflexologist or yoga instructor?
Yeah, absolutely. We have over 400 volunteers all across the country, and CAUSE just could not exist without our amazing volunteers. So I want to thank everyone out there who spends time, you know, serving with CAUSE, and we really appreciate it. And we're always looking for new volunteers. And we do have volunteers that can participate in different, like, the sporting events and different other kind of events that we have within CAUSE, with our CDL program, with the game carts and the gift pack deliveries and things of that nature. And then depending on the location, you know, as long as they're massage therapists or Reiki practitioners, reflexology practitioners out there that are insured and licensed and all of that sort of thing, then they can actually work on the CAUSE Massage, Reiki, and Reflexology program as well and donate their time.
Now, I hear you have a fantastic event coming up called a Warrior Ride. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, yeah. We're so excited. So actually, just a couple weeks ago or a week or so ago, we had kickoff our Warrior Ride that started out at Fort Lewis, Washington, and a veteran Army couple from the area are going to be riding a tandem bicycle almost 4,000 miles from coast to coast. So they started out in Washington State, and they'll be ending in Washington, D.C. in early October. And along the way, they're going to be raising awareness on the invisible wounds of war as well as visible wounds of war. And they're going to be raising support and generating awareness all across the way. So we're super excited for that. And so far, They're on day 9 of their mission, and they've hit some snags along the way, but, you know, it's really great to know that there's some great Americans out there who really care, and they also believe and support our wounded warriors, and they've helped them out along the way, and we've gotten some great feedback, and so we're really looking forward to seeing, you know, what can come from that. So they're stopping at different cities and towns all across the way, and you can go on our website, cause-usa.org, to find out if they're coming out to a town near you and see how you can get involved. And one of the biggest things we're asking right now is for people to take the I'm Here pledge. And basically what that says is that you're here for warriors, you're here for the military, you're going to do whatever you can to support them. And that pledge, all it takes is just your signature online, and then we're going to display all the names at the ending event in Washington, D.C. on the National Mall.
Now that is really cool.
Yeah.
That is really, really cool. So what is your vision for the future? How do you hope to continue CAUSE's mission? Or if somebody wants to maybe help start a location of CAUSE, how can they do that?
Sure. So our biggest vision for the future is, like I said, we're really focusing on our massage, Reiki, and reflexology. We kind of have a niche in that industry, if you will, for nonprofits. And so we're really focusing on expanding that. So right now we have, you know, several locations across the country where we have that program, and we're really looking to make sure we keep that connection and follow them through the whole process from when they're injured all the way into when they're back in a civilian life, because we all know that can be a really trying time to try to adjust to. So we're looking at partnering with different organizations in the community that might have space so we can come in and operate our program, you know, on a biweekly basis. It's very, very easy to operate. We come in, we set up, and we have our, you know, clinic for the day, and then we take it down and we move on. So if anyone out there is part of an organization that wants to partner with us, that would be wonderful. And then as far as other locations, we're looking at expanding and offering maybe different referral services. So if there are volunteers who would like to participate in the massage, Reiki, and reflexology program, one thing that we're considering doing is offering a referral service. So if there's someone that's not at a current location of ours, we're looking at maybe kind of creating a network. So when we get requests in, we can refer them to those people in their towns and their cities.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, we are about out of time, and I actually would love to ask you 10 more questions because I think this is just a fabulous organization. But once again, can you just tell our listeners where they can go and to get some more information and see about getting involved with CAUSE?
Absolutely, we'd love it. Our website is CAUSE, CAUSE-USA.org, and all the information to all of our locations across the country and in Germany, and our programs and various contact information is listed there.
Well, great. Thank you so much for being with us tonight, Shannon.
Thank you.
All right. AWTR listeners, stay tuned for our AWTR Minute and more information about what's coming up next week on our show.
Looking for more resources? Visit us on the web at armywifenetwork.com. Browse our resource database. Submit your field problem question. Request field problems to be published in your area. Find tons of Army family empowerment, a directory of Army posts worldwide, message boards, live chat, and much, much more. Go to armywifenetwork.com. That's armywifenetwork.com.
Struck by identity theft? Act quickly to avoid a credit crisis. This is Alex Cromarty with a Money Minute from the In Charge Institute's Military Money Magazine. Even after canceling credit cards and notifying the bank, a victim of identity theft can suffer from credit woes long after the incident. June Walbert, a certified financial planner practitioner with USAA, says people who suspect identity theft should take immediate action to protect their credit or repair the damages. First, report the ID theft to the nearest police department. The police report may come in handy when creditors require evidence that ID theft has occurred. Next, victims should place a fraud alert on their credit report by notifying the three major credit reporting agencies. An alert usually lasts 90 days, but can be extended up to 7 years. Finally, victims should keep a close eye on their credit report, which will show if someone has opened a fraudulent account. If so, call the lender who issued the credit and ask for help completing a fraud packet. It may take a month or more, but eventually the lender will provide a letter of clearance and should help clean up the victim's credit report. This Money Minute made possible by USAA, a full suite of financial services online at USAA.com.
Want more? ArmyWifeNetwork.com offers discussion boards, military family resources, Loving a Soldier blog, and much, much more. Tell your friends about AWN with our interactive tools. Visit us online at ArmyWifeNetwork.com. ArmyWifeNetwork.com. Interactive empowerment for Army wives.
Well, what a fun show, guys. Thanks so much for listening in this week. And if you're on our podcast and we're talking to you later in the week, come show up on Monday nights and hang out with us. We'd love to see you. Next week, it's going to be July 15th, halfway over with the month already. Star and Paula are here, right? Is it you? Is it you, Paula? I know it's Star.
Yeah, it's me.
I think it's the two of you. I'm going to be down at USAA getting some training on the new stuff that we've got over in the military spouse community over there. And they're going to have Raul Valdez-Perez. He is the author of Advices for Winners, How to Get Advice for Better Decisions in Life and Work. And basically what that is all about is he's saying, you know, we should always ask for advice, but sometimes we're a little bit too chicken. And so he's going to teach us how to get out, how to ask for advice, how to get ourselves a mentor, that type of stuff. So it's going to be some good stuff. I think you guys are going to like that. And then we've got our resource of the week, Passed On.
That's right. But in the meantime, you can join us on Facebook at facebook.com, Army Wife Network, and, of course, our blog, lovingasoldier.com. But don't forget that you can soak up all of the knowledge available on our main site, Army Wife Network. Or if you want to go back and re-listen to this podcast, that would be great, too. So we have a lot of fun, share a lot of information. So
we do have a lot of fun.
Catch up with it. Yeah. So,
all right, guys. Well, check out the mother side of site, as Star always says. She says, go back to ArmyWifeNetwork.com and Loving a Soldier. It's interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. And this is Army Wife Talk Radio's Crooks and Swanson. And we're signing out. We hope you guys have a fabulous week. And we'll see you back here same time, same place next week.
Good night.
The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. Army Wife Talk Radio is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services, and inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DOD, any local government, or their agencies. Thank you for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week for another informative edition of Army Wife Talk Radio.